Now, when you think about soil health, you might picture in your mind a soybean field or a cornfield, but it may not immediately be apparent how many other industries rely on soil health, like pork.
And the reason that the Port Board is so involved in that is if you look at all of our footprints, whether it be carbon, land, or water, a vast majority of our footprint has to do with making feed. So those crops are as much as 60 to 70% of each one of those footprints.
National Pork Board Chief Sustainability Officer Jamie Burr joins us to share about the importance of soil health, conservation, and sustainability to the pork industry. This is the Soil Sense podcast, where we believe that building healthier soils is not just a prescription, but rather a pursuit. On this show, we unpack the ways farmers collaborate to build healthier soils and adapt systems to work on their farm for both sustainability and profitability. Let's get to the root of all that and cover some ground on today's episode of Soil Sense. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Soil Sense. I'm one of your hosts, Tim Hammerich. Joining me, of course, is our co-host, Dr. Abby Wick, and we're sitting down today with Jamie Burr. Jamie is the Chief Sustainability Officer at the National Pork Board. He's been in this particular role for about 6 months now, but he spent most of his life in the pork industry. Prior to joining the Pork Board, Jamie spent almost 24 years at Tyson Foods in various environmental and sustainability roles, most of which were on the live production side in both pork and poultry. In today's episode, Jamie shares how he defines sustainability, why the Pork Board prioritized soil health for people, planet, and pork, how the industry is striving forward in key areas of sustainability and conservation, and how they're leveraging data to tell this whole story to consumers. We'll start with Jamie providing some of the historical context to the leadership role the pork industry has played in sustainability for a long time.
The Pork Board had a really early start in this space from my perspective. We really started the environmental footprint work back in 2008 as a committee. At that time, the committee had the vision to see that we would need to begin developing a sustainability platform. Therefore, in the early 2011 range, released the carbon footprint, the water footprint, the land footprint. So we've had a long history, but I'll go on to say, really, when you think about sustainability for the pork industry, it goes back since day one. And if you look at a 60-year, six decades, the amount of reductions that we have made in the carbon footprint, the water footprint, the land footprint, just goes to tell the story of it's been a long history of sustainability as we define it today.
Since you mentioned it there, let's kind of talk about the definition of sustainability. I think if you asked 10 different people, you might get 9 different responses, maybe 11 different responses. But how do you define sustainability in your role?
So I have a compound definition of sustainability, and that is it first starts with efficiency. And how do we continue to produce more pork while reducing the impact to the environmental footprint or to any footprint? And I also see sustainability as a journey and not a destination. It's a continuous improvement journey to be more efficient with our natural resources.
So I was curious, Jamie, a lot of people working in sustainability, you find them kind of moving throughout their career and getting into these roles where they can help the efforts in a different way. And so what was it as you transitioned from Tyson into the Pork Board that allowed you to do something different than you could do before?
I think it goes all the way back before Tyson, and that's growing up in the industry. My grandfather and great uncle and uncle owned a sale barn from the 50s through the early 2000s. So spent my life there, but also had just some great opportunities within Tyson to begin building sustainability programs, building environmental programs. Was able to work at Tyson on, for instance, setting greenhouse gas goals for the company and also developing a land stewardship program as we worked with the supply chain and trying to identify ways to work to reduce the carbon footprint of the entire business unit.
And specific to pork, I'm sure you probably have a list of these, but maybe one or two. What do you think are important parts of the pork sustainability story that maybe a lot of people don't realize?
Well, I'm going to say more than one or two, and I'm going to just start with our 6-week here ethical principles. And those are our people, the environment, communities, food safety and animal welfare. And I think where it's important for the pork industry is how producers have set the metrics and goals that we want to begin to measure and to monitor so that we can report on those underneath each one of those ethical principles and be transparent about what the pork industry is.
And let's talk about soil health specifically, Jamie. I think maybe those that don't work in the pork industry might be like, wait, pork and soil health, you know, soil health, I thought it'd be more of like a row crop thing. Can you talk about the importance of soil health to the pork industry?
Yes, soil health, you know, it's such an integrated system. We depend upon so much corn and soy to grow pigs. And really the soil health work that we're involved in started with an MOU between the Pork Board, United Soybean Board, and the National Corn Growers Association. And from that MOU started Farmers for Soil Health. And the reason that the Pork Board is so involved in that is if you look at all of our footprints, whether it be carbon, land, or water, a vast majority of our footprint has to do with making feed. So those crops are as much as 60 to 70% of each one of those footprints.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we've had a couple stories so far of, you know, kind of using manure as part of a soil health building program, right? To return those nutrients to the soil and to build the biological activity in the soil. And that seems like it would be, it's a story that maybe a lot of consumers at least don't realize is that the pork aren't just consuming all these grains, they're actually returning a lot of these nutrients. Is that right?
Correct. If you think about it from a circular perspective and how it is a cycle of producing corn and then using manure to displace commercial fertilizer to grow that crop and then to take that crop and feed it to the pig and then the pig producing manure and then that completes the continuous cycle.
And Jamie, you mentioned metrics earlier, and I think you kind of alluded to what types of areas, you know, you're looking for sustainability in and measuring sustainability in. Can you just maybe speak more specifically to the metric side of things? You know, what as an industry are you measuring and monitoring and trying to, you know, continuously be improving upon?
So I'll talk about just a couple areas as examples. One would be with animal welfare and the importance of our pork quality assurance and our trucker quality assurance programs that really monitor and measure the training programs that we have for many, many years that ensures that those animals are taken care of. And then if you add on top of that, the pork quality assurance site assessment, and then another layer is the common swine industry audit. And we're tracking every year how many sites have team members or employees that are trained. And then we're also tracking the assessments, how many sites are assessed in both the common swine industry audit and the pork quality assurance audit. And that just gives us an indication of how those programs are being implemented on the farm. And then I'll switch to environment. The goal that we have as a pork industry is a 40% reduction in carbon emissions by 2030. And that's, you know, the farm gate emissions. So that would be from the time the grain is grown to the pigs leave the farm gate. And another one is water. How much water do we use? And then how much land is associated with pork production? So we have stood up a platform to begin collecting that data so that producers can enter data and then we can start publicly reporting on those metrics from a transparency perspective. Without that data, it's hard to tell a story. And I know for one that I would rather the industry be able to tell our story with our data than for someone else to tell our story with whatever data they want to use.
Yeah. And on that note, what does that look like for the Pork Board to communicate that information? Obviously, you're collecting all that because the consumers want to know, right? The transparency you're mentioning. How do you get that information back to the consumers so that they know how sustainable the pork they're eating is?
Sure. So we have developed annual sustainability reports. So we have that as a baseline. We've also used different social media platforms to talk about the footprint analysis, the 50-year retrospective analysis that we've done in the past as indicators of what our footprint looks like. And really those metrics, if you think about it as a formula, and the formula is principles plus proof plus practices equals public trust. And the principles are the six We Care ethical principles The practices are the metrics that I mentioned under each one of the principles or the We Care ethical principles. And then the proof, that's the data. So that's really the metrics or the formula that we're working off of is principles plus proof plus practices equals public trust.
I'm curious about that public trust piece. I mean, you said your family's been into pork since 1950. And what has that trust looked like over the years as you've been involved in this industry?
Certainly the industry has changed. I think the biggest one, especially from an environmental perspective, is feed conversion. So the amount of grain that it takes to make a pound of gain. And I can go back, at least with hard data, back 25 years. And that is when I very first started in the industry outside of just being part of the family. Feed conversion in market hogs was about 3.5 pounds of grain to get a pound of gain. And today it's about 2.7. So we've removed almost a full pound of grain to get a pound of pork out the door and all of the associated benefits that come with that. So that's less grain, that's less fertilizer to grow the grain, that's, you know, potentially less pesticides associated with growing the grain. It's increasing the efficiency, and also, as mentioned earlier by Tim, the manure portion of it, as we can continue to improve manure utilization and reducing the amount of commercial fertilizer that we're having to add, we can reduce that nutrient use efficiency ratio, the amount of nitrogen, for instance, that it takes to grow a bushel of corn. And that's another piece of efficiency, because it's not only efficiency for the environment, it's efficiency for the farmer's pocketbook.
Love that. Yeah. And are there any other either innovations or research or ideas that are kind of coming the pipeline in the future that get you excited about either improved efficiency or just improved overall sustainability? Anything that you're just particularly keeping a close eye on?
I think genetic progress is one. You know, how can we continue to select genes that become more efficient from a pig perspective? How can we become more efficient with water that we use as well, whether that be in the crop side because we improve soil health and therefore the tilth of the soil is improved so that the water acts more like a sponge to hold that water in place for the plant to use it when it needs it? That's another significant piece of efficiency that as we continue to build soil health, we'll see.
And with this Farmers for Soil Health program, as you're talking to pork producers, you know, within that 20-state area, what do you hope they get out of it? What do you hope that the end result of this initiative will be for the pork industry?
I think one is to show how the pork industry has shown tremendous leadership when it comes to listening to the consumer to build trust, and how pork producers have seen how important it is listening to consumers and then investing in an area that improves environmental outcomes of the pork industry. To me, that's the most important aspect of what we're doing, is listening to those consumers and acting on that and investing on that so that we can improve environmental outcomes. I'm also hoping to see how we can continue as a pork board to provide other opportunities for improved environmental outcomes that producers can invest, and some of their risk be covered by different grant programs so that the uptake of these practices could be greater over time.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how, you know, we often, I don't want to say characterize, but we often can envision how a row crop farmer would approach sustainability. They use some cover crops, they do some reduced tillage. On the same token, we can look at farmers with cattle for their livestock, and they might grow full season cover crop to graze and include that in their system. And is there anything specific within a pork producer's portfolio that he would use or she would use to manage that system in a sustainable way? It's just a little bit different from the other types of farmers out there.
Sure. A couple ways that I can think of, and it really involves another grant that actually the pork board is leading, that, you know, we're partners in the Farmers for Soil Health. And then we have another Climate Smart grant that the pork board has that's aimed at other practices that pork producers could implement and be paid to do so. And those are like a second pumping of manure in the fall versus just the spring. And what we have seen there is a reduction in emissions by pumping that manure out a second time, if you look at all of the life cycle emissions. And then two other ways I can think of is in our grant program, we have cover crops as well, but we also have the opportunity for producers to integrate livestock and have fencing so that they could integrate cattle or any other livestock to graze that cover crop as another example. And then getting back to the barn in our grant is from an energy management perspective, we can provide funding to move to LED lighting in the barns and reduce the amount of energy that's used from a lighting perspective inside the barn.
And Jamie, I know pork is a global commodity, so I'm curious if you could just kind of give us more on a global scale the sustainability story of pork, and then also where you hope this Farmers for Soil Health fits into that.
So one of the biggest is just being able to amplify to, you know, countries that really focus on sustainable attributes of pork, how we can use the same We Care ethical principles that I've been talking about to show to those importing countries that pork in the U.S. is very serious about continuing to improve on our environmental footprint, and we're putting practices in place to continuously continue to improve that. There are countries that certainly see environmental attributes at a higher, they value those at a higher level, and we have been working on projects to see how we can differentiate between U.S. pork and other countries that produce pork as well. And Dr. Heather Fowler on our sustainability team, who is a One Health champion, is great at telling the story and relating just how much our We Care ethical principles are involved in public health and One Health, because One Health is people health, it is planet health, and it is pig health. Also, a public health perspective is the importance of nutrition that pork brings to consumers. Many don't know that, for instance, a pork tenderloin is just as lean as chicken breast, and that the nutrition value of pork is far greater than what a lot of, I'll just say, a lot of history has said that it is.
You know, kind of as we close these interviews, we always ask for kind of, you know, your take-home message. If you could address a group of growers and pork producers that are at varying levels in their kind of soil health understanding and their soil health journey, what would be your message to them about soil health and about the opportunity that exists for more sustainable agriculture?
I would say from my perspective, soil health has so many benefits. And the one that I mentioned earlier was just soil tilth and being able to hold more water. And by holding more water, it reduces erosion. It reduces the edge of field runoff that we see, but it also improves the environmental footprint of pork production, and it continues to build trust with consumers when we are actually putting practices in place on the farm to improve those environmental outcomes.
Well, I think that is a super important point and a great takeaway from today's episode, that soil health practices first, of course, need to work on the farm for real agronomic and business outcomes, but they're also part of what today's consumer is demanding. And that ability to communicate the principles, practices, and proof is becoming more and more important to all of us in the ag industry. And I believe it'll continue to become increasingly important in the future. Thank you very much to Jamie Burr for being on today's show. Now, before we close, I'd like to thank the Soy Checkoff for sponsoring this Farmers for Soil Health series of the Soil Sense podcast. This show is produced by Dr. Abby Wick, Dr. Olivia Cayuette, and myself, with support from the United Soybean Board, the University of Missouri Center for Regenerative Agriculture, and the Soil Health Institute. If you're at all interested in what soil health looks like in practice and on the farm, I highly suggest you subscribe to and follow this show on your favorite podcast app and leave us a rating and review while you're there. Also, be sure to check out the Farmers for Soil Health website at farmersforsoilhealth.com. Until next time, stay curious, keep collaborating, and don't forget to take a minute to stop and smell the soil. Have a good one.